going, Anna.
Good day. We thank you for tuning in here today. We ask the Lord to bless those that are watching us on the internet. It's been a very different way to minister to people. We've been having our in parking lot service. We've only missed one service since the coronavirus has hit. We've been having services, parking lot services, here at our church, and we thank the Lord for that. And then we're putting out these video messages for those that can't even come to the parking lot service, and then also be able to enjoy preaching Sunday night and Wednesday night as well. So we thank you for listening. Appreciate all the good comments. Thank you for sharing the word. Hitting the share button there on your computer, on your phone, to share the message with others. There is an unprecedented amount of gospel preaching going out across the land. We believe that the Lord's our redemption draweth nigh. The Lord's coming is soon, and that we're praying for a great ingathering of souls. We always preach with the gospel in mind. We pray for souls to be saved. We preach to be able to build up our people, to encourage our people that we would be following, follow more closely to the things of the Lord. We need to be reminded. We need to be challenged to examine our heart. We need to be challenged to go forth and serve our Lord as He would have us to. All the while, doing all things in a spirit of love, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, without love, nothing else really makes any difference. Nothing else works without love. Heard one time a person say, where would you go? Where church had love or church had truth? And, you know, that question is really can't be answered just by one or the other. I believe if a church is truly preaching the truth, they should have love. And if a church has love, they ought to be preaching the truth. They're almost like you'd have to say they're inseparable. They're inseparable. How could you preach the truth and not preach it in love? Well, it really wouldn't be truth, because the Bible says that God would have us to love. And we're to preach in love, we're to teach in love, we're to admonish in love. And as for all, as we said this past Wednesday, for all the talk there is about love, oftentimes we see so little of that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We're thankful again to be here today. Thankful for those who are listening in. We're looking forward to getting back to in-person services. For those not of our membership, if you'll go there to and look on our homepage on Facebook, keep abreast of the things that are going on, where we're going to be starting our in-person services back in the house of the Lord again. And we would encourage you and challenge you to come out, see what we're about. And for most of those that know us and see the things we have on the radio, read our article, maybe know us personally, we are what we are. We're a people that are saved by the grace of God, sinners saved by the grace of God, trying to strive to do God's work, God's will, God's way. We focus on families, try to build up our families' most holy faith, and we pray we'll have a people that are willing and desirous to serve the Lord, to love the Lord, and go forth in our community and then even abroad, sharing the wonderful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your great love with you loved us in the sending of your Son. Lord, we pray that we could walk worthy of that love. Lord, that we could walk in a way to be pleasing to you. Lord, that we could walk in a way that would show other people what a great love that you have for us, what a great God we serve, as we try to imitate and strive to imitate you, Lord, and as we love other people. And Lord, as people could be able to see us and know us and say, how could they do that without God working in their lives? So, Lord, we give you the glory, the honor, the praise for all things. Even here this morning, Lord, we ask you to bless as you bring this word. May your people be built up. Lord, we would pray for those that be sick and afflicted. Touch hearts, touch bodies, touch minds. Lord, give people relief of pain. They can enjoy the good things of the Lord here this day. Bless, Lord, forgive us of sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like you to turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. This makes about the third or fourth message we've preached from this passage of Scripture. I assume it's the fourth message. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And we would take time to read that. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We spoke about, for God had not given us a spirit of fear, but of courage. We preached a message along those lines. But of power, not weakness, and of love, certainly not hatred or a disinterest, which is just a lack of love. We spoke about that last week, this past Wednesday. We're going to focus upon that same thought and expand upon that a little bit today. Then the last thought, of a sound mind. God has given us the ability to have a good mind, a sound mind, and certainly not a mind of unstableness. We may have that for you this evening on Sunday evening. Let's go ahead and begin where we left off the study of this ever so informative passage of Scripture. Again, we looked at this past Wednesday the phrase, "end of love." We studied the fact of God's love for us, how that we should have a great love for Him. And now we're going to look at that how we need to walk in love. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, we read, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Then in verse 3 and 7, a warning of that which we shouldn't do. Let's take focus on the thought, as God has given us the ability and the command to walk and serve in love, let's be busy doing just that. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 through 13, we read of the preeminence of love. All the special grace bestowed upon the child of God, all are nothing without love. In this passage, you read of love as being the acid test, the litmus test, the measuring rod, to see if the other graces have any merit standing alone without love. Without love, all service to Almighty God becomes mere formalism. Formalism. There was a young man that come down, was one of the go hunting with me. He come down from Brooklyn, New York. He was raised in a religion. He had attended a place of worship all of his life. Quite so much different than the services we have in Faith Baptist Church. And as he attended the services here with me, after the services, the only comment that he had was this: "Your church services are much more personal than the services that I've always went to all of my life." How sad it is that any people that say that they're worshiping God and their services are so formalistic that they go through the motions and there's no personal connection there. Without love, all service becomes formalism. God does not want a form of worship. God does not want the act of worship itself, the ritualism of worship. God wants worship. God does not want us to go through the steps or the precepts. He doesn't want us to go through the acts of love, but that we would have love toward Him and toward others. As we dwell on love, you must know this: love is always going to be active. It's always going to be active. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 through 13, we read the preeminence of love. Love is active, and love will always be at the top. All the special graces bestowed upon the child of God are as nothing without love. All is as nothing without love. In the passage that we just read, love has been the acid test, the litmus test, the measuring rod, to see if the other grace have any merit standing alone without love. So again, without love, all service becomes a formalism. Love is manifested by Almighty God toward us through the giving of His Son, the ultimate showing forth of love, active love, in giving His Son to die for us on the cross of Calvary. We're to manifest the love of God toward others. And that's going to involve giving. We can't just say we love without giving. Giving is a part of love. That's what it means to walk in love, as we read there in Ephesians chapter 5. Again, we got to understand that love is active. Love will always be verbalized, written, or shown in some way. It may be all three. Love absolutely will never be silent. As we take time to dwell on this godly love of our text today, it's understood that this love is active. Thus again we read, to walk in love. We need to be active in sharing, telling, serving in love. How's this done? It's by serving the Lord and ministering to other people. Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, in that you do minister to the saints and do minister. Again, love is active. It'll always be active. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Our speech ought to show forth that we love. You can't be spewing forth hatred, negativity, ungodliness all the time, and at the same time, believe that you have a loving way about you. It just doesn't work. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought also to walk even as he walked. If you say the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, there's fellowship between you and the Lord, that you're with Him, you're together with Him, that atonement has been made for your sins, that you are at one with God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you say that He abideth in you, you ought also walk the way He walked. Talk the way He talked. Have the character, the demeanor, the attitude, the graces that Jesus Christ portrayed, and ought to be in your life the same. Again, he that saith he abideth in him ought also to walk even as he walked. I want to take time to look at several different areas that show us loving, serving, and ministering to others. And it may be that all of these are in your life. Maybe not so many. But certainly if there's none of these in your life, how that you ought to examine your heart. It convicts me to preach such messages as we preach about love. It convicts me it's not always so easy, so it ought to be easy to preach about love. It's much easier to preach about love than it is hate. It's much easier to preach about heaven than it is hell. But sometimes as we think about how loving that we may be, and preach messages such as this, and sometimes we get convicted of such things, it makes us feel very hypocritical. That's part of the examination that we ought to make of our hearts every day. None of us are perfect. We can all increase in and do better. Certainly we can. So I say these things not to bring doubt upon you, but that you'd examine your heart. As if these things be in your life that shows forth a loving, serving, ministering spirit that ought to be evidenced in your life and my life as God's child. Number one, praying. We're to pray for other people. And in doing so, the Bible commands we should pray for other people. It tells us we ought to pray for other people. But also pray for other people as a way of showing love. Jesus, John 17, showed His love as He prayed for His people. As we read John chapter 17, the intercessory prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ praying for His people. You got to understand this. You cannot ever consistently pray for someone and not care about them. If you have somebody that's done you wrong, that's done you ill will, maybe really done you a really bad turn, you just start praying for them. Because what's it do to get angry at them? What's it good to take out wrath upon them? Oh, it makes you feel better for a moment. But in the long run, it never pays. But we've got to be able to always speak our mind. We think we've got to be able to say our piece. But most time, it always causes more damage, if we'd really think about it. You can't consistently pray for someone and not really care about them. You just can't do it. Number two, we're to build up those around us. Building up somebody is a way of showing love. In Jude 20, but you, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, prayed in the Holy Ghost. You build yourself up in building up others. Other people take quite the opposite approach. They build themselves up by pushing down others. They rise above others by stepping on others. The Bible teaches it's quite the different. You build up yourself in building other people up. As you build people up, you'll be building yourself up. Edifying means to build up. Romans 14, verse 19. Take time to read that. But building others up is a way of showing love. Certainly, crushing, putting people down and holding them down is not a way of building anybody up. Number three, correcting done in a godly way is a way of showing love. Proverbs 23, verse 13 through verse 14 speaks about that. Contrary to much of modern psychology, the way of rearing a family, no correcting to the child. Let it be that free spirit. Don't dampen, don't hinder their forward progression, their creative abilities. Let them be free. No really true correction. The Bible says if you don't correct a child, you surely don't love that child. Because a child needs to have correction. It needs to be godly correction. I would never advocate hurting, beating, abusing children. There's a lot of ways to do that, not just physically, but emotionally. And that's as bad, and sometimes can be more bad, I reckon, if there's no bones broken. As you browbeat and knock a child down mentally and keep them knocked down mentally. That's a terrible thing. It's a grievous thing. And they got laws in place to take care of children. And I thank the Lord for that. At the same time, for a parent to not take their godly place as a parent and prove godly correction, the Bible says that's not truly loving your child. Ephesians chapter 12, verse 4 through 13, the Bible speaks about God corrects His children. We that are saved, His children, there's chastening of the Lord that comes in our life. The Bible says if that doesn't happen to you, that means simply you don't belong to God, because God corrects and chastens only His children. It's a proof that you are God's child. We can correct people. We can do it in a godly way. If you come at a person and try to correct them or help them with a, I'm better than you, or you're nothing and I'm everything, that's not ever going to help anybody. That's not ever going to be a blessing to nobody. It'll just drive them further away. But if you come in the spirit of love, and you come with the spirit of love with their very best interest at heart, not your best interest, but their best interest at heart, and try to help them and correct them and do it in a godly way, you're showing true love. Number four, reaching out to others shows love. In James chapter 2, verse 15 through 16, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be you warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things that are needful to the body. What does it profit? You understand that? Somebody has a need. And you say, well, hope everything goes well for you and walk away. What does that really do that person any good? Jesus, feeding the 5,000, He showed love in Matthew 14, verse 15 through 21. He showed compassion. I know that we live in a world where there's a lot of takers. There's a lot of people that just continually to take, and they continually take and take and take, and they never give anything in return. And as we get skeptical about giving and helping, and they are givers, and there's takers. And if you unwittingly give to a taker, listen, the Lord will bless you in the spirit of love as you try to reach out and help other people. And if they just are taking because they're takers, and maybe really have no need, but they just take, listen, the Lord would deal with them. But we can't let those that are takers keep us from reaching out to those that are truly in need. And sometimes the line gets blurry, and I know that. So I would side on the side of giving. Use discretion. Use godly wisdom. But be busy reaching out to others. We always don't know what a person's going through, what a person's dealing with, but their attitude, their actions, their looks. We always don't know. Sometimes we can, but sometimes we don't. But we can't stop giving just because somebody's a taker. Listen, takers never satisfy with what you do for them. That's not ever enough. That's one way you evidence if a person's a taker. A taker really shows no true appreciation, no true thankfulness, no humbleness showing. They're deserving. I don't say that when a person's in need, they ought to have to come to you beggarly and just praise you and set you up on some kind of a high pedestal. I'm not saying nothing about that. That doesn't need to be. Certainly it doesn't need to be. But for a person to receive, and I do know this, for some people it seems like it's hard for them to receive. They don't know the words to say. They don't know how to express humbleness or appreciation. It's hard sometimes for people to be able to show that. But you could at least be able to sense that. But for that person that just takes and says, well, I'm deserving of that. There's no appreciation to you or for you. They're a taker. A taker is shown by never themselves ever giving. It's always a one-sided relationship. They always receive. They never give. That person's a taker. You know, I praise God to be amongst a people, a church, that gives. And they do give. And they're givers. And they're not just always wanting to take. But they want to give. They want to reach out to other people. And that's a blessing. It's a blessing to be surrounded around people that want to reach out and help others. Number five, love shares the gospel. How can you better show the love to anybody better than tell them the message, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? What could be more expressive of your love towards somebody, especially if they be lost, to tell them the old, old story of the Son who come from glory, the one who come from glory, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who died and shed and gave His blood, buried but rose again, that we could have eternal life. What greater love could anybody have for anybody to share unto them the gospel that they may have hope? My prayer for you in closing today is this. May God bless you and take care of you. And you'd be more willing and quick to give to others. It's easy to say to others, I love you, but remember this. True love, a godly love, shows itself as well. What's old saying? Tell me likely I'll remember. Show me, I'll never forget. As we close, the Bible tells us Almighty God loves us. So many times He shows us love. No greater ways, we said earlier, than taking our place as a sinner. He became sin for us. He took our place. He took the sinner's place and bore our punishment upon the cross of Calvary. He took our sin debt upon Himself. He paid what I could never have paid. With His life, with His blood, He showed me how much He loved me. And He still shows me every day. How are we showing our love to the Lord, to His people, and to the lost? How are we doing that? It's not that we keep score. It's not that we keep a daily tabulation. But listen, we ought to be mindful of and be conscious of what are we, how are we showing, expressing our love? How are we walking in love toward others? Heavenly Father, just bless here today. Bless the people. Bless our people, Lord, of Faith Baptist Church. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, bless their needs. Bless, Lord, their hurts. Bless, Lord, their pains, their ailments. Pray with the healings, if it be Your will. We pray for those who have dreams and visions and thoughts. And may those thoughts and those dreams, those visions, be centered around You. Help us, Lord, to always be concerned about, during Your way, Lord, especially as we think about today, pertaining to how do we order to walk in love as You walk in love. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.